now on Money News. Roger Montgomery, talking trade. Thanks to BankWest. Go low with a BankWest business loan at bankwest.com.au/low rate.
Oh, isn't it good when we get plenty of time with Roger Montgomery? And we're going to take all of your calls, 131-873. Roger, you'll take calls on just about any subject, won't you?
Delighted.
You're a very broad-minded man. Let's take Tony in Paddington first up. Give us a call, 131-873. We'd love to hear from you. G'day, Tony. How are you doing?
Yeah, good evening, Russ. I like your program enormously. It always tempts me to ring in. Look, there's two issues. One is about the government, whether they could get back in. My view is that they could. It sounds completely obscene to say that, but then I never understood why Howard lost, so I'm probably of a minority there.
Well, see, there's an interesting point, Tony. Weird things happen, and what would surprise a lot of people is just how quickly that political cycle turned back, because after Howard lost and then Costello walked away, it was seen inside those coalition ranks that they just could be in the wilderness for years and years and years and years and years. So I think that's kind of interesting, Tony, but I don't think from here, personally, I think that the polls would really show that the Gillard government has just almost lost the ear of the Australian people, and if they're to try and even have a hope in hell, they've got to try and regain that ear in some way.
Well, I hope you're right. And the other point that I wanted to make, which is more trivial than that one, is to do with that stoush that's going on between Singleton and
Waterhouse,
and really, I know he's your boss and everything, but I mean, if she's got any style at all, which I think she has, she really should have nothing more to do with him. He's the one that's blown this whole thing up, really.
Well, except for one thing, Tony, and I don't have to defend him because he's my boss or anything like that. There is the one issue about this that comes up, and as he pointed out today, he would apologise if he thought the information that he got was false, and that's interesting. But then there's a second part of this, and this is about the way in which information basically goes through, which is what the stewards are now trying to work their way through. The racing industry's always been about, you know, whispers and who said what to who and what's going okay or what's not going okay, what's hurt and what's not going hurt. But I still say that in all of this, it's probably worth the explanation and an examination to work out where the conflicts of interest are. I think that is probably high time that somebody had a good look at that, because, you know, ultimately there's all sorts of propriety that is required in all sorts of professions, and I think that's no different to any others. Thanks for that, Tony, who's in Paddington. Give us a call, 131-873. Not dissimilar to the stock market, Roger. Because
we're talking about whether or not information is distributed evenly to all participants.
Well, you and I both know it's not.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. And it's very, very hard to regulate every conversation that people have. Those in my industry that have a great deal of integrity try and discourage anyone from telling them anything, because it means that they then can't deal in the stock, even if they were going to. So if, for example, I was going to buy XYZ and I happened to have a lunch and somebody told me something, well, I'd be pretty cross with them for telling me that, because it means I can no longer trade in XYZ stock, because I'm now over the wall, so to speak. I've now got some information that's not public, and that prohibits me from actually trading in that stock.
But surely the stock market has always worked on information that people are able to glean from others. Now, that may be even public information that's been examined, information that has been overlooked by others. The fact that you can gain that information, or indeed that you can sit with the chief executive and have a conversation and glean the direction of that company in the future.
There's information, there's different types of information. So there's information in the stock market, two people can look at the same set of facts and come up with a completely different conclusion.
If I told you
at the end of the year GDP would be 3% and interest rates would be at 2.25%.
Yes.
All right. And we knew that was going to happen by Christmas.
I'd buy bank shares, and I'd buy some government bonds.
Well, and you might make money out of that, but you might not. You know, and there's no guarantee. Well, you might. We'll wait. There's plenty of instances where interest rates drop and GDP goes up and stocks go down.
True.
So, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to make money. And I've always had that view that, even with perfect information, you're not always going to be able to predict changes in sentiment. It might be a little bit different in horse racing when someone tells you that, look, that horse is a bit crook. It's not going to run that well today. That's pretty specific information.
Okay, one thing. Have we become just that little bit too much of a nanny state where we over-regulate every small piece of information that ASIC would like to try and chase people down small dark corners to try and get inside those conversations?
And they try and avoid doing that if they can. They prefer self-regulation. But let me say this. I think for Australians and for your listeners, it's more important that we discuss, the implications of the US or European buyers of our grain handling companies than it is to spend all this time on Gay Waterhouse and John Singleton. I think that's a sideshow and it's not really the main game of what's important for Australia.
All right. What's important for most Australians these days is the fact that bank shares went down on a day when interest rates were cut.
Which is unusual.
That is really strange, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Something is up. I said this earlier on. It just feels as though there's a hedge fund play, that there's some sort of strategy going on here somewhere.
Before I came on the show, Ross, you and I had a chat about rumours swirling around that George Soros is shorting the Australian dollar. And,
yep.
And you rightly pointed out that he can do that a number of ways, and he can do that directly in the currency. But he also, investors can also short stocks, and they can take a leverage bet on their view on Australia, and resources and financials are one way to go. And because financials have run so hard, they're not down in the dumps the way the resources are, so you may short that. And it just was a little bit unusual that the bank stocks fell after the rate cut decision over the course of the day, the remaining part of the day. There's only about an hour and a half to go before the close. That was interesting. Now, my view is there could be two reasons for that. Yes, there could be hedge fund managers that are shorting the Australian banks, but it could also be that the banks were bought in anticipation of a rate cut. Now, admittedly, there are only 9 of 28.
Nine of 28 economists
only believed it.
The markets were sitting on the fence, so it's a pretty big bet that somebody would have taken.
Yeah. So, but they could have bought in anticipation and sold on realization. So, bought in anticipation, rates would be cut, and then sold. Okay, that's done. The bank's rally is over. I'm going to sell.
Now,
that's one possibility.
You've told me for weeks there's nothing to buy in the markets, and yet the markets had a massive rally in that period of time.
Yeah, but
does
remember...
Does that mean you've sat on your hands and bought nothing during that time?
We didn't need to. We're almost fully invested. We've got a lot of... We're not quite fully invested, but we're 20% cash. For us, that's a lot in the equity market. So we've participated in the rally, but at that time, we couldn't find new things to buy, and that's still the case. It's true that when interest rates are cut, the value of an asset, the intrinsic value of an asset, goes up. So when interest rates go down, property, shares, businesses are intrinsically worth more.
Yep.
And in this particular situation, when interest rates are cut, because term deposit rates go down, people are seeking higher levels of income elsewhere. So they turn to the share market, they might turn to property investment as well. So that's what the central banks of the world want. That's what the Reserve Bank of Australia wants. Cut rates and eventually you shift cash out of cash and into the stock market and the property market, and you get asset prices up.
I've said this to a couple of our guests tonight, and that is, given the state of our economy right now, what you're seeing, what you're feeling in companies, are you surprised that interest rates tonight are sitting at record all-time lows?
Yes, I am, actually. I am very surprised, because the companies we own are growing their profits at 20, 30, 40% per annum. And so we're absolutely delighted with owning those businesses.
So can I make an observation to people on that? If a company is growing at 20 or 30 or 40% per annum, and it can borrow money at, let's call it not 2.75%, let's call it 5.5%.
Sure.
Right? 5.5% you can borrow money to grow a company by 30% per year.
Yes.
That has got to be a pretty good reason as to why you would have a reasonably healthy level of debt inside that company.
Well, and what they would typically use that debt for is they'd use that debt to make acquisitions of other companies, for example. And in aggregate, Australian corporates have the lowest level of debt that they've had in a very long period of time. So arguably, they could leverage their balance sheets, use these low rates.
People could go and spot, and you would be trying to spot, that have got undergeared balance sheets,
yes,
which could be acquired, have debt put in them at very cheap rates, and know that there's enough cash flow to not only pay off that debt, but to grow the shareholders' equity. In other words, your equity.
But often we're buying businesses that have strong brands, strong competitive advantages, and they've already paid off all their debt, and they don't really need any more because they're throwing off so much cash they don't need it.
I'm talking about the corporate jackal here. The corporate jackal, their time may come only because the debt is so cheap.
That's what the RBA is trying to do. It's trying to encourage that activity.
It's a very good thing. Roger Montgomery comes in here, gives you an education about the way the stock market really works, and he's done that tonight from rogermont.gomery.com, plus the Scaffold platform you can get into as well. That's the program for tonight. Steve Price and Andrew Bolt are up next, and we'll see you tomorrow night right here on Money News.